This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's Shohei Ohtani bobblehead giveaway day. We're counting down the top Shohei Ohtani plays with the Dodgers so far. Also, we've got some updates on Mason Miller and Justin Verlander. Both have been linked to the Dodgers. What will the Dodgers do when Jason Hayward becomes healthy? Could we see Miguel Vargas back? All that more coming up next on Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
This is the golden age of Dodger baseball.
Grand slam! It's a double for Freddie.
They're going to make big signings. They're going to make impact trades. This is the most anticipated season in Dodgers history.
Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
Welcome to another episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. My name is Doug McCain, credentialed member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. And if you haven't yet, do yourself a favor and subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Join over 90,000 Dodgers fans and you'll have a chance to win because we're giving away a gray Shohei Ohtani Road Authentic Dodgers jersey. All you have to do is two things. One, subscribe to the channel, and two, comment GOAT Tani down below. That's all you have to do to be eligible to win. You got to subscribe and you got to comment down below. But welcome to Dodgers Dugout Live. Everything you need to know about your Los Angeles Dodgers today in less than 1 hour. And you know how we start every single episode with a poll. The Dodgers Dugout Live poll question of the day is, if the Dodgers needed starting pitching at the deadline, would you be okay with them pursuing Justin Verlander? I asked you guys that over on the X. And right now, 27% of you say yes, while 73% of you say no. So most Dodger fans right now over on the X are saying they do not want to see Justin Verlander in Dodger blue. He has been linked to the Dodgers. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, let me know where you're representing Dodgers Nation from. Give me those cities. Give me those zips. Are you going to the bobblehead night tonight? Are you going to the most anticipated bobblehead night in Dodgers history? Because that is the leadoff today. That is the leadoff for today's show. We're talking about Shohei Ohtani because there's been some highly anticipated bobblehead nights in this franchise's illustrious history, but none more than tonight, where you have 40,000 fans are going to get a bobblehead and 1,700 will get a road gray Ohtani bobblehead. So that tells me that the road gray is hot in the streets, and that's what we're giving away. So who's going to that bobblehead night? Are you expecting a war for these things? Because look, I mean, 40,000, if you get 50 plus thousand there, I mean, hopefully, you know, the vast majority go away with the one, but it's going to be very interesting to see tonight if there's any drama that comes along with this, because it's a big one. It's a big one. Everyone wants that first ever Shohei Ohtani bobblehead for the Dodgers. We got Gotani. We got Scab Scar. He had his chance. David E., only to see Mrs. Verlander in the stands. That's a bruh. We got, what's up, everyone? Oh, by the way, Mr. Super Producer Antonio, Antonio Taters, to my left, is looking out for your fire takes. He's looking out for your comments for the seventh inning stretch. If you guys drop a fire take, a hot take, you're going to see one of these. If you drop a burn, a roast, you're going to see one of these. Anything a little sus, a bruh.
We already bruh.
And if you get a comment in the show, one of these, you win. Who's going to be that Dodgers dog of the show, by the way?
Dodgers dog of the game.
We got more comments. We got Casa Grande checking in. What up, Martin, over on YouTube? We got Addict over on YouTube, La Crescenta, the 818, Justin Lamas. What up, Justin? Always rocking with us. We appreciate you. He's going to tomorrow's game. Yeah, look, this Dodgers team, they take 2 out of 3 from the Giants. They've won 17 of their last 22 games. In those 22 games, they've allowed 4 runs or less. They're closing in on the Cleveland record that has 25 games where their pitchers have allowed 24 runs or less in a game. So the pitching has been outstanding, and this team is still right on top. They're basically just chasing the Phillies right now for the best record in Major League Baseball. We got Damon McClain. What up, Damon? Represented from Australia. No for Verlander, but if we don't, the Padres will. Interesting take. You don't want to see the imagine the Padres, a hot Padres team. If they win a wild card round and you're facing them in the NLDS, and they have a Verlander. Interesting take from Mr. Damon McClain, repping from Australia. David E. Stadium, way looks like a homeless in cameo. Got Alex checking in from Las Vegas. Boyle Heights in the house. Gotani from Bill. We got Paul. I think our starting pitching is fine. Bullpen and bottom of the order. Offense needs work. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about Shohei Ohtani, because Shohei Ohtani is right at the top of the leaderboards when it comes to pretty much every single statistic right now in Major League Baseball. And I think the one that blows a lot of people's minds is the fact that if you look at his WAR numbers, the fact that he's a designated hitter, he's not pitching, he's not playing in the field, and he's still right at the top. The top two leaders in F4 for Major League Baseball this season, according to Fangraphs, in first place, you have Mookie Betts. Marcus Lynn Betts has accrued 3.1 F4, and right behind him is Shohei Ohtani, the big show, posting 2.9 F4 already. If you look at batting average, he leads all of Major League Baseball with a 364 batting average. If you look at his slug, he leads everyone with a 676 slugging percentage. Weighted runs created plus a 212. He's 112% above league average when it comes to weighted runs created plus. 12 home runs, 30 RBI. And tonight, I think, is a night where you say, you know what? He really feels like a Dodger. Because I know he's already played in, what is it now, 43 games, but you get your first bobblehead, it's official, right? You get that bobblehead, you're going to put it at your desk, and you're going to have it on your desk while you're watching and listening to this show. You're going to add it to your collection, and I think that's really another box that gets checked. And we're going to kick off the show. We usually hold this to the end of the show. We're actually going to start the show off today as a little bit of a celebration of Shohei Ohtani, because we have this guy for the next 10 years. We have this guy for the next decade. And we are witnessing, in my opinion, the most talented baseball player ever in his absolute prime. If you were to go into a lab and make the perfect baseball player, one that can hit like an MVP, one that can pitch like a Cy Young winner, you come out with Shohei Ohtani. This guy doesn't feel real. I know I get criticized in the comments for glazing, but I'm not glazing, I'm just praising. And he has deserved this level of praise with how good he is. I think you can make a case that Shohei Ohtani is as good at his job as anyone is on this entire planet. You look at other sports. Nikola Jokic just won his third MVP. Ohtani is better at baseball than Jokic is at basketball. You look at the NFL. Patrick Mahomes just won another Super Bowl. Ohtani is better at baseball than Mahomes is at football. And the reason that is no one's saying right now that Nikola Jokic is going to pass Michael Jordan. No one's saying right now that Mahomes is going to go down the GOAT as of right now. He could very well. He absolutely could. Then you got Connor McDavid in the NHL. Could he go down as the GOAT? Possibly. But Ohtani is as good at his sport as anyone ever. And you're seeing that evidence early on. Now, we're going to kick this top five. So we're doing our high five. Reason why we call it the high five here is because, of course, as you know, the Dodgers, they absolutely Doug, you praise Ohtani more than Ben. I love Ben, man. Ben's cool, man. I know he gets a bad rap. I see him at Dodger Stadium for sure. And he definitely loves his Shohei Ohtani. But hey, I mean, is there anything I'm saying that's not true? What is has anything I've said about Shohei Ohtani not been true? Just be honest here, right? I mean, the guy is a hitting machine. And did I mention, fun fact, here's a fun fact about Shohei Ohtani. He can pitch. And he can pitch at a Cy Young level. It's not normal, okay? But we're going to kick off our top five. We're doing our high five. Like I said, we call it our high five here because the Dodgers, they created the high five. in the 70s. And we're doing our high five today. Sportsnet did one yesterday, but this is our version of the top five Shohei Ohtani moments so far since becoming a Dodger. Big shout out to Antonio there with the transition screen. That was fire, guys. Showing some love down below in the comment section. But coming in at number five, I'm going Ohtani passing Dave Roberts.
I didn't know this is how it worked. Oh, my goodness. There it goes down the line. And Ohtani hits it out and breaks the record. Sorry, Doc. Maybe you'll get a real car now.
I love that comment right here from Bofa D saying, did you see where Rojas said that Mookie gets nervous about being on base when Ohtani is up because he doesn't want to get hit by a 105-mile-per-hour line drive? Haha, I did see that. That's a fire take right there. And you would too, man. You got piss missiles and laser beams flying at you at all angles when he's at the plate. He's been destroying baseballs all season. The coolest thing about that, of course, is Shohei Ohtani. He gifted Dave Roberts a mini Porsche, and the whole joke was he had given Joe Kelly's wife a real Porsche when Joe Kelly agreed to give Ohtani his number 17. And he was asked in that press conference, I was right there, and he was asked, hey, if you, what would it take to make this a real Porsche? And Shohei Ohtani said, hey, let's win a World Series and then we'll talk. So Dave Roberts, you could be getting a real Porsche if the Dodgers get it done in October. But just it really showed the funny side, the softer side of Shohei. Just to have that, and it was Kirsten Watson's idea to give him the mini Porsche, but I love that about him. It was $60, which is not the same price of a real take can, which is over $100,000 to $200,000. But hey, this guy's making just $2 million a year, right? His best friend stole almost $17 million from him, okay? Probably wasn't in the budget right now, okay? But love that moment, Ohtani passing Dave Roberts for the most home runs ever by a Japanese-born player for the franchise. Then coming in at number four, I'm going with Shohei Ohtani's bomb against the Washington Nationals. I'm pretty sure that this baseball is still in orbit somewhere in space.
How about Shohei? This is his first time playing in Nationals Park. Ohtani with an absolute rocket. Forget about it. First game in Nats Park. First home run in Nats Park. 4-1 Dodgers. 4:23 on Sunday. 4:50 tonight.
The sound when he hits the baseball is a sound like we've never heard. I mean, you got that maple bat. It sounds like a shotgun. It sounds like a blast, a bomb. And that was already a historic home run for the Dodgers. It was 118.7 miles per hour off the bat. It was the hardest hit batted ball in the StatCast era that dates back to 2015 by any Dodgers player. So just 25 games into his Dodgers career, and he already had the two hardest hit balls in Dodgers franchise history. He already had the number 3-1 on the list at 115.8 miles per hour on a double hit on March 31st. And the only other guy in there was Yasiel Puig, who had a 116 mile per hour ground out back in 2017. So 118.7 miles per hour off the bat, just absolutely smoked one there. And you see that prodigious power from Shohei. Hey, that ball had a family, Shohei, and he did not care. It was an absolute bleacher reacher. And then coming in at number three, this is one of my favorites. There was a lot of talk about, oh, Shohei Ohtani, he can't hit with runners in scoring position. Shohei Ohtani, he can't come through in the clutch. Well, what happens? Big series at home against the Atlanta Braves, and he worked an 8-pitch walk. He stole his 6th base of the season before in the game, and then to keep the game alive, he gets an RBI single off of Rocio Iglesias in the bottom of the 10th inning to tie it at 3 to set off that walk-off shot by Andy Páez.
The middle, base hit center field. Taylor's coming home, and Ohtani has tied the game.
So you saw right there, I mean, a ball that was a little off the plate. He goes out there and he gets it. He puts his bat on the ball and he makes something happen. And that is followed up by Andy Páez getting his walk-off hit, the first walk-off of the year for the Dodgers. And that shows right there that Ohtani doesn't need to hit a home run. He doesn't always need to slug to make things happen for this team. There was a perfect example right there that he does have different clubs in his bag to go up there in situations and get it done. And I think that was big for Shohei. I think that was big for the Dodgers to take care of that Braves team at home. And it's just a big moment to kind of silence some of the critics. They were trying to present this narrative that Ohtani was in clutch when all the batted ball data suggested that he was batting, having bad luck, when all the history in the last 3 years with the Angels was telling us they had an OPS over 1,000 with runners in scoring position. So love that moment. Then coming in at number two. Look, you never forget your first. His first home run of his career with the Dodgers. And who does he do it against? He does it against the San Francisco Giants.
3-1.
Signature. Worth the wait, and it got out in the blink of an eye.
So like I said, that's such a satisfying sound. The crack of the bat with Shohei, it just hits different. And every time he hits it, it feels like it's going to go like 900 feet. It feels like it's going to go like 1,000 feet. And we were waiting. We were desperate for that first home run. He got off to a tiny bit of a slow start in the power department, and he waited for his last AB against the hated San Francisco Giants. By the way, SF stands for season finished. And to have that moment right there, that was showtime, baby. That was showtime. You saw the sunflower seeds, and I think that was a big weight lifted off his shoulder. And then ever since then, he's taken off, and he's raked better than anyone on the planet. And then coming in at number one, the best Shohei Ohtani Dodgers moment so far, it's not any play in a game. It happened in December, and it's when Shohei Ohtani probably went to Google, probably searched Dodgers logo, saved it to his camera roll, then went to his Instagram, and he posted my favorite post that I've ever seen on the IG. There it is. The most beautiful post in Instagram history. Shohei Ohtani, to all the fans and everyone involved in the baseball world, I apologize for taking so long to come to a decision. I have decided to choose the Dodgers as my next team. That was the moment that you guys were screaming. You guys were yelling. I was doing a shoey with champagne moments after that. I want to know from you guys, where were you? Where were you when you found out that Shohei Ohtani had signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers? I see someone saying Ohtani was on a plane to Toronto, so that we'll never forget that one.
Finish
right
him.
There. We got to Alex Bro. I totally agree with you, Doug. Nothing wrong with appreciating greatness. Ohtani is the most talented player ever and the greatest overall player. Juice Narrows. What up, Juice Narrows? Always bringing juice to the Dodgers dugout live streams. Make sure if you're going to the Ohtani bobblehead game tonight that you take your strap. It's going to be messy. Yeah, definitely. Come on now. That's definitely probably shouldn't have had that up there for sure. But Johnny Owen, I personally want Bo Bichette, Johnny Owen, Binky. Dodgers Nation, Ohtani batting third last night would have changed the game. I've been saying this. Look, I mean, last night you had terrible umpiring, right? I mean, both those calls off the plate. He was clearly frustrated. And I think you still want him at second because he's dynamic on the base pass with his speed. Also, you want to maximize his at-bat. So, yeah, it didn't work out yesterday. But they didn't lose that game because of that. I mean, you looked at the performance from Eliezer Hernandez, and that's where I want to pivot to next. And Hernandez gave this Dodgers team a chance to win. Last night, Eliezer Hernandez, he goes 6 innings, allowed 3 runs on 4 hits, had 3 strikeouts and 1 walk. You saw him using that sinker. You saw him using that cutter, getting soft contact. We saw some really nasty changeups. They was getting some chase down in the zone. And what did he do that the Dodgers needed? He gave them length. He gave them 6 innings of work. Only allowed 5 base runners. Only problem is 3 of those base runners would score. He gave the 2-run home run to Yastrzemski there in the 3rd inning. But I was very impressed with Hernandez. By the way, not here to take a victory lap, but if you watched the show we did back in February, non-roster invites that you need to pay attention to, he was in the top 5 because he's had stuff. He's impressed in this show for glimpses, right? It's just about staying healthy, and I was really impressed with that. I mean, the thing now is I mean, since he goes six innings, he's not going to be available, and you're going to probably see another bullpen game on Sunday. So really interesting to see what they do with him. But not only that, I mean, you had Salazar. He goes and he gives them a really nice appearance. And this Dodgers pitching has been absolutely outstanding. Like I said at the top of the show, 22 straight games where they've allowed just four runs or less. They're closing in on the record. They need 25 for that record. So definitely want to give some love to Mr. Eliezer Hernandez. And he's someone that could absolutely find his way in this bullpen if there's more injuries, right? I mean, you have Brazier down. You have Brusdar down for significant time. You're going to get Evan Phillips back. Joe Kelly, you never know with him when it comes to injury. So Hernandez, I think the ceiling for him and what makes him intriguing is what do we see with Ryan Yarbrough? Is he someone that can give you multiple innings of relief? So probably not going to have him as your starter, obviously, when everyone's healthy, but can he be someone that can be a long man? So look, anytime you go out there and you perform like that, you open the eyes of this Dodgers coaching staff. But let me know down below in the comment section, what did you think of Eliezer Hernandez? I was very, very impressed. Was hoping the Dodgers would get that dub because it would be the first time since 1980 that the Dodgers started the season 6-0 against the hated ones, the season finished SF Giants. But go Dodgers from BC. We got trade the farm from De La Cruz from Nando 390. We got Swelling Sausage. Ohtani almost had a splash landing to center field. He almost did. I mean, Swelling Sausage. I mean, it was the hardest hit, longest home run in San Francisco in almost 2 years. I mean, when do you see any splash zone shots to that part of the cove? Deep center field. It just doesn't happen. He's not normal. He's not from this planet. He's Superman in baseball cleats. We got Scabscar, D-Max, your plays, David. I love me some Dave Vasse. Noise by Noel, our superstar social media guru. I would do some wicked things to get a Shohei bobblehead tonight. Yes. What would you do? What's the craziest thing? We'll start with you, Antonio. What's the craziest thing you would do for a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead?
I mean, to be honest, I don't mind not getting the bobblehead, but if I had to do something, I would probably wear, if it was from Shohei himself, I would wear a Giants hat.
Ooh, you wear a Giants hat.
If it was from Shohei himself.
That's some Halloween stuff right there. All right, Noel.
If we're on the topic of heads, I would shave my head for a Shohei bobblehead tonight. You know I love my hair, Doug, but I would shave my head for a bobblehead.
Okay, so, I mean, coming to the frame. Come to the frame, Noel, because I'm going to the game tonight. I'm going to the game tonight. As a member of the media, I do get a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead. I will give you that bobblehead, and we're going to shave those luscious locks on this hair, this show.
If you bring me back a road gray.
Okay, that's a deal. If I get a road gray,
I will shave my head on this show.
So, guys, if you guys get a road gray, I will pay you for it. So DM me. We're going to find a way to get that road gray.
I'll see you guys soon if you get it to Doug.
It is the last you're going to see that hair, man. It's going to grow back quick, though. So there you go. We got Noise by Noel. If you guys follow us on Instagram, he's the man behind all of our really awesome reels, all of our great posts. So give him some love over on the socials as well. We got Gotani. We got I would give up my Klondike bar. Wow, I really hate mushrooms. Mushrooms is my... I just can't stand mushrooms, guys. I don't like the taste of them, and I would probably eat a mushroom. That's how far I would go. I know you guys think that's nothing, but for me, it's something because I don't like some mushrooms, okay? Brian says, Ohtani goes deep twice on his bobblehead. Fire take. It's a fire take right there. Darren Shepard, feels like whenever we do a bullpen game, we're accepting that we will take an L if it means we can get our pitchers some rest. They're actually 2-2. I mean, they have a couple losses, but for the most part, I mean, that's effectiveness. I mean, the offense didn't show up yesterday, right? I mean, the bullpen game worked yesterday. It just the offense didn't do enough to capitalize on it. And look, it's baseball, right? You're going to, I mean, look at the catch Matos make, the catch he made. I mean, you lose 4-1, but, you know, you give yourself a chance to win those situations. The Yastrzemski home run there in the bottom of the third, that was on a four-seam fastball, kind of caught a little too much of the plate, but wasn't too concerned about him. Now, as far as this roster goes, next thing I want to get into here for the down of the day is they have some very difficult decisions to make. They are going to send someone down, and they're going to make a roster move when Jason Hayward gets healthy. And I see people freaking out on X because In his two rehab games for Oklahoma City, Jason Hayward has gone 0-for-6. He's had a couple strikeouts in the first game. He had two strikeouts in his first game. We're at 0-for-3. He played five innings. He played in right field. But I guarantee you that the organization, they're not focused on the results that he's getting. They just want him to tell them that he's feeling 100%, that the back isn't bothering him, that the tightness isn't barking in the day after the game. So, look, it's not a situation where they're saying, oh, Hayward is went 0-for-6. We better give him some more time to get that timing down. No, I think they know that he's a veteran, and they want him back as soon as possible so he can give them some situational hitting, give them a veteran bat towards the bottom of the lineup, and get closer to what he was. I mean, last season, he hit .269, had 15 home runs, had a 121 weighted runs created plus, played mostly against righties. Over 90% of that bats were against right-handed pitching, played great defense in right field. They want to see if he can come up and be that guy once again and provide that leadership and that depth. Now, what is the move they're going to make? Because you guys know what I said a couple days ago on the Dodgers Nation post-game show. I said, maybe you option James Outman, right? And then what do you do about Chris Taylor? Well, Chris Taylor is still struggling. I mean, he's hitting .071 with a 41.2 strikeout rate. James Outman's hitting .151 with a 60 weighted runs created plus. There's no reason why you can't bring up Miguel Vargas and a Jason Hayward, right? And we talked about it on the show a couple days ago. Miguel Vargas, he's raking down in AAA. He's played left field. And if you want to give him another opportunity, now would be the time. You could phantom IL Chris Taylor, and then you can option James Outman. Then you have a Andy Páez who's continuing to get that runway. He's had some ups and downs of late. He's cooled off a little bit, but that's an important part of the process to give him the opportunity to get himself out of a slump. And then Miguel Vargas, he's raking down in AAA. We've been monitoring him very closely on this show because you know I love me some Miggy Varg. And Miguel Vargas, he was the Dodgers' starting second baseman last season. And yes, defensively, he struggled. Offensively, he didn't do enough to justify keeping him there. And after the All-Star break, he was done. But if he's still going to be a part of their future and he's raking down in AAA, then what do you do with them? Just have him go down there and hope for another guy to get injured? Because, I mean, Vargas is hitting .290. He has a 144 weighted runs created plus for OKC. The strikeout rate is at 16.9%. The walk rate is at 17.5%. Also, he's a right-handed bat, right? With James Outman, he's a left-handed bat. And you bring up a left-handed bat with James Outman, with James Hayward, Jason Hayward. Now you have a left-handed bat with Jason Hayward that you bring up. And you have a right-handed bat with Miguel Vargas that you bring up. And you pair that with Gavin Lux down the bottom of the lineup, Hayward, Páez, and Lux, and you got Vargas as someone you could bring in during certain situations and give him some opportunities. I think that that is one way that you can increase the production in the bottom of the order. And at the very least, you're using it to assess if Miguel Vargas has figured it out, because they were heavily invested in Miguel Vargas. He was ahead of Páez. He was ahead of Outman. He was ahead of all these guys, save for Gavin Lux, as far as young position players they're going to give opportunities to. And my question is, if you're not going to bring up Miguel Vargas, is he trade bait? Is he someone that you would include in a trade? We got Ethan disagrees with me, says big no on Vargas. Dude doesn't impress me ever. Chief, we can call Phantom DFA CT3. We got more saying yes to Vargas. Can't do any worse in the bottom of the lineup from Roy Estrada. Mike M., good point. If Vargas is raking, he could have good trade value. And you look at his batting average on balls in play, this year it's at .308. He's above average. Last year was at .224. It was below league average. So, look, I mean, he played in just 81 games, 304 plate appearances, had 7 home runs, right? So, this last year's version of Miguel Vargas was better than this current version of James Outman, right? And if you're going to have guys like Jason Hayward and guys like Andy Páez who can play some center field and Miguel Vargas played left, I just don't hate the idea. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. Now, for me personally, I think it makes a ton of sense, but let me know down below. You guys agree? Send Páez down for Mike M. VGCT3 needs to stay in the lineup and needs more hitting time. Mike M., if they send Páez, I'm done with the management. I highly doubt they're going to do that. Andy Páez has proven to be a pretty solid big leaguer in his limited time here. And if they're truly hell-bent on giving him that opportunity to see if he can provide depth and be an asset for this team all year, you got to give him some runway. But in the month of May, he has cooled off. In 50 at-bats, he's 11 for 50, hitting .220 with a .633 OPS, has two home runs and one double in 50 at-bats. And you compare that to April, where he was hitting .300, it was 15 for 50, but had five doubles and two home runs and .847 OPS. You see the drop-off. So let's see if Páez can get back to the April version of himself. And if that's not the case, I mean, there's still a world where the Dodgers look to add a outfielder, right? You guys know how I feel about the addition of another guy that can rank. Eddie says, D-Mac jinx Páez. Mike M says, I still believe in Páez. Brianna, Rochelle, we can make some deals with Miami or other teams that are at the bottom. They will do a fire sale. So that's a good transition. That is a... Eddie says you wanted Páez to slump, crying face. It's not that I wanted him to slump. It's that Freddie Freeman slumps, Ohtani slumps, Mookie Betts slumps. The great Major League Baseball players all go through stretches where they're not timed and synced up, and you're going to have some lulls, right? The ebbs and flows of a big league season. And if Páez can come out of a slump and perform like he did when he first came up, well, guess what? You have a legitimate big leaguer. And until he does that, you don't know. And that's just the truth. So it's a part of the process. We got Moose 1032. Is Páez starting to slump D-Mac? Yes, he is. But still, he went against the Giants on Tuesday. Against on Monday, he went 1 for 4, did have a double. Yesterday, 2 days ago, went 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts. So 4 strikeouts and 5 at-bats. Yesterday, he went 0 for 4 with 2 strikeouts. So you're seeing the strikeout numbers start to climb up too, which definitely is a trend that you want to see him reverse. Now, speaking of additions, John Heyman of the New York Post, MLB Insider, he wrote a piece where he linked the Dodgers to Justin Verlander. And we're going to talk about that next here on Dodgers Dugout Live. What up, Dodgers Nation? D-Mac here. I'm here to remind you that if you have not yet, be sure to subscribe to the number one Dodgers YouTube channel for all latest Dodgers news, rumors, hype videos, interviews, breakdowns, live streams, and more all year long. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. And if you really want to help the channel out, smash that like button. Also, you will not be eligible for any of our giveaways unless you are subscribed to the channel. So all you need to do to be eligible for all of our giveaways is just make sure that you are subscribed. We just gave away a brand new authentic Mookie Betts jersey valued at over $350. And we got tons of giveaways coming this offseason. So be sure to be subscribed so you are eligible to win. And as always, think blue, bleed blue, and please subscribe. And welcome back to Dodgers Dugout Live. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe so you can win the giveaway for the Shohei Ohtani jersey. Also, another reminder, this show is brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball to golf to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. All latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use our mobile app device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Now, we're going to pick it up here. We're going to talk about Philip Fallon's comment. Philip Fallon says, D-Mac keeps saying Phantom IL for CT3, but don't forget what happened to Billy Epler. Don't think Friedman wants to play that game and take that risk. Yeah, that's always something for sure. And Billy Epler gets suspended because he was fabricating the injuries. But let's not forget, we're a few months into the season. I mean, there is a world where he could legitimately be experiencing some form of a nagging oblique, a hamstring, anything. I mean, he's a veteran player that has played through a slew of injuries throughout his career. So I wouldn't put it past him if he does have something at the moment. But I agree with you, that is increasingly becoming a point of emphasis for Major League Baseball. They know that teams are manipulating that, and you don't want to see that. And I think this organization, the last thing they want to do is have that happen. We got Ben Kawucha. Wasting Vargas in AAA is worse than DFAing CT3. The infamous El Guapo. CT3 needs more opportunities. He'll work out this slump. So let's dive into Justin Verlander. Now, this is all fun and games, right? And this is hypothetical at this point. The Dodgers aren't in a desperate need for a starting pitcher at the moment. But For anyone that can say with a straight face that the Dodgers might not need a starting pitcher by the trade deadline, it just means you haven't been following this franchise for very long. We saw in 2021 what happened. You had the most stacked rotation in the league. You had Dustin May emerging. You had just signed Trevor Bauer coming off of Cy Young. Then, thanks to an injury to Dustin May and some off-the-field stuff with Trevor Bauer, you were in a position where you had to go out there and trade for a Max Scherzer just to have any chance of making the postseason. So, look, for me, starting pitching is very simple. You can never have enough of it, okay? Give me all the starting pitching that I can acquire. And the question is Justin Verlander makes sense? Well, John Heyman, he said in his recent piece for the New York Post about the idea of Justin Verlander, he said that Justin Verlander is someone that could make sense for the Dodgers and that he has a no-trade clause. He will have to pitch better than he did Tuesday against the Yankees, but the guess is he might accept L.A. or close to his hometown in Baltimore. So that is where you start with Justin Verlander, is he has a full no-trade clause. We saw what happened when he was with the Mets, right? He exercised it, and he led his way to New York, from New York to Houston, and that was his choice, right? So does he want to be traded with the Dodgers? Would he be willing to take a trade to a team that a lot of people have linked with the Houston Astros, right, as a cheater? That's the number one thing. But what I will say is, when it comes to Justin Verlander and him and the Dodgers were legitimately interested in signing him a couple off seasons ago. They were completely interested in it. And this is before he ends up going to the Mets. Well, one thing we know about the Dodgers is if they're interested in you ever, they're probably going to be interested if you become available. We saw that with a lot of players, right? We saw it with Mookie Betts. We saw that with Max Scherzer. And Max Scherzer beat them in 2019, him and Strasburg and the Nationals team. They end up trading for him later. Verlander is someone that they've shown interest in, and I just wouldn't be shocked if he became available and they needed starting pitching that they would consider doing it. Now, interesting thing about Justin Verlander is he has a vested option for the 2025 season if he pitches 140 innings this season. Right now, he's over 29 innings so far in five games. So he's around 110 innings away. Would he hit that? If he does, he has that vested option. So for me, Justin Verlander, he wouldn't be my first choice for sure. Would not be my first choice. But if you need a starting pitcher, he's someone that you could do worse, right? I mean, it just depends. Does Tyler Glasnow and Yamamoto stay healthy? How does Bobby Miller look when he returns? Are they going to get a version of Walker Buehler that you would trust in the postseason? Is Clayton Kershaw going to return? And if he does, what role will he have? How will Gavin Stone continue to emerge, right? There's a lot of questions about the starting pitching on this team as far as can they sustain it? If you can sustain it, great. You have enough pieces to go into October and give yourself a chance to win. But look, Verlander has been pretty consistent. If you look at his numbers this season, The strikeout numbers have been down for a couple years. I mean, his K per nine is at 7.06. He's thrown out 29 and a third innings so far. He's 41. The ERA is at 3.38. The expected ERA is at 3.39. The FIP is high, though. The FIP at 5.09 and the expected FIP at 5.12. You would definitely want to see some of his peripherals go down before you give up anything big to get him. But if he has the leverage, right, with the no trade clause, if he made it clear, hey, only a couple teams I want to go to, Baltimore or the Dodgers, that's a way that you eliminate some of that leverage that the Astros would have, right? You wouldn't have to give up a crazy prospect return to get him compared to something like a Mason Miller trade. So just throwing it out there, he has been linked to the Dodgers. This is from John Heyman. I'm not gung-ho on this. Look, I'm not the biggest Justin Verlander guy there is, but if they needed starting pitching, there is a world where it would make sense for the Dodgers. And like I said, if they've shown interest in you in the past, they most likely will still carry that interest. Now, here's a guy that I know you all here. We got some comments here. Kate Upton, you are a Dodger. That's a fire take. It's a fire take. Verlander baby from Justin Llamas. We get some no's out there. We got Ethan. I mean, Verlander has a better postseason record than Kershaw. It pains me to say it, though. Michael says Dave Roberts is the heart of the success for this Dodgers team. We got to bring back Zach Greinke. That's a comment of the show for sure. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, next one. Perfect. D-Mac just wants Kate Upton at Dodger Stadium. Nando 390. That's a bruh. For sure. That's a bruh. No doubt about it. Now, Mason Miller is the guy that I know a lot of you want. Mason Miller is putting together quite possibly one of the best seasons that a reliever has ever had. That's how good he's been so far. In 18 and a thirds innings, he has a 0.98 ERA. He literally has a negative 0.22 FIP. If you look at the strikeouts, I mean, almost 19 strikeouts per nine. He's striking out over 50% of the batters that he's facing. He's punched out 38 of 67 batters on the season. These are video game numbers, right? These are absurd numbers. And if you look at his Baseball Savant page, looks like a murder scene, man. There's just red everywhere. Red everywhere. And he's on pace for a 4.7 F4 season. To put that into context, that's one of the best ever. I mean, you would be right there with Eric Gagne. Eric Gagne had a 4.7 F4 season in 2003. So, look, the thing about Mason Miller and what John Heyman said about Miller was that he is going to most likely be available. It's just at what price? It would require a king's ransom. Hepatitis, see you later, says Mason Miller, not worth it. The thing with Mason Miller that would concern me just a little bit is he throws so hard, right? He throws so hard. Currently, right now, Mason Miller is averaging 100.9 mile per hour on his heater, 100.9 miles per hour on that fastball. He's throwing it 57.9% of the time. Opponents are hitting 161 off it. And then he pairs that with that slider that he's throwing at a 41.4% clip. Opponents are hitting 65 off of that. He also throws a changeup that he's thrown just twice this season. So he's a four-seam slider kind of guy. That plays up in the postseason. He can work it up in the zone. It's absolutely filthy, and he's going to be expensive, right? Six more years of team control, including this season. He's pre-arbitration. So you would have to give up two top 10 prospects just for the Oakland A's to pick up a phone. So are you comfortable with giving up two top 10 prospects for a reliever? That's the question. Bleacher Report, they had a trade proposal recently where they proposed that the Dodgers get right-handed pitcher Mason Miller and the A's get catcher Dalton Rushing, the Dodgers' number one prospect, the number 71 prospect in all of Major League Baseball. Outfielder Josue DePaula, the Dodgers' second highest prospect. He's in the top 100 for MLB Pipeline at 92. And then right-handed pitcher Kyle Hurt, the Dodgers' number four prospect. So you'd be giving up your number one, your number two, and Kyle Hurt, who's currently hurt with shoulder inflammation, for Mason Miller. That's a big haul. That's a very, very big haul for a relief pitcher. And if you're the Dodgers, though, if you truly believe that he puts you over the top, that he's the final piece in this World Series puzzle, and that you can't trust some of these relievers to return to form, then I think maybe you consider doing it and you lock up your closer spot at an affordable rate for quite some time, right? Pre-arbitration. He's extremely, extremely affordable based on going out there and signing a premier reliever. He's 25 years old, 6'5", 200 pounds. And if you're the Oakland A's, though, I mean, I'd absolutely sell him. I would absolutely look to maximize the value for him, because when you look at pitcher injuries, it feels inevitable for some of these guys, and you're trying to think long-term. We don't even know where we're going to play, man. Are you going to be in Sacramento? Going to be in Vegas? Going to be in Oakland? Your fan base is just dwindling. I mean, at this point, the fans that go to Oakland A's games, they're painted as seats, right? I mean, they got no fans right now, so I don't see why you wouldn't trade him. It's just a matter of how many big offers are they going to get, and do they value the Dodgers' prospects? So that, to me, is one where, man, I don't know if I pull the trigger on that at that price. For me, if I'm going to give up two of my top 10 prospects, I'm calling the Toronto Blue Jays, and I'm trying to see if I can get Bo Bichette, get him signed to an extension, keep Gavin Lux at second, where he's starting to click offensively. The offense has improved. The defense has been great all season. And then the conversation becomes, maybe we throw Mookie Betts back in right field because you need an outfielder. and you need someone that you know can handle that position at an elite level, that's just what I would do. If it's me, throwing Mookie back in right, trading for Bo Bichette, throwing Gavin Lux the keys at second for the long term, and that's a World Series move right there. But this is all just fun and games, hypothetical stuff. But Mason Miller, as of right now, if you could get him, it could change the complexion and really shorten these games, because starting pitching's already been great. To have a lights-out guy, and then you throw Evan Phillips into that fireman role, oof, this team could be literally one of the best, the greatest baseball teams of all time. Literally one of the greatest baseball teams this sport has ever seen in all facets if you would do something like that. But let me know down below in the comment section, Mason Miller. How about you, Tonio? Would you have two top 10 prospects for Mason Miller?
I mean, how much club control does he have again?
Six.
Oh.
He's pre-arbitration.
For the guys you
including
mentioned?
This year.
Yeah, I'd pull the trigger.
Yeah. Hey, you know what they say around here? Parades over prospects, baby. Let's go. But let me know. Heyman needed. Let's see. Okay, we got some more here. Justin Turner at the trade deadline, then manager in 2026. It's a fire take. Fire take right there. Dodgers should make a push for Miller or CJ Abrams. That's from Christian Garduno. By the way, you know, Bo Bichette's starting to rake again. He's starting to really turn it up. Trade CT3 Lux and a prospect and cash for Mason Miller. See, I'm keeping Lux at this point because I like that team control. And we have trouble hitting against good pitching. We got Justin Lamas. Yes, I do this trade in a heartbeat. Rushing as a backup catcher. Hurt is already hurt. And who knows what Josue DePaula is going to be. Look, I'm not saying I'd be against it, but it's just for those players, what else could I get around the league at more premium positions? That's kind of my question. How's Bo's defense? It's below average at the moment, but look, I mean, for Bo Bichette, you're getting a guy that's a shortstop that can play that position at a competent level, still very young, and he can hit you 30 home runs. He strikes me as below average. The Mookie back-to-right field comment is disrespectful to him. You're openly choosing Lux over Mookie. Bilal K, that's not what I'm saying. It's just Gavin Lux can't play right field, and Mookie Betts literally is one of the best defensive right fielders of all time. Look, I would be, if whatever Mookie wants, Mookie gets, and he sees himself as an infielder, they're going to keep him on the dirt. There's no doubt about it. But it's a good problem to have when you have this much positional versatility. And look, if Mookie Betts wants to stay at second base, sure, he can absolutely do that and focus on the offense. But me personally, I mean, look, I think the most important thing that Mookie does for this team is hit and rake at an elite level. And that's what you're going to see with him. We got Miggy Rowe at shortstop and Mookie at second base. We got Brian Gax. What up, DMAC LA? What up, Brian Gax? We got Ethna, full no trade, you mean? I will go anywhere. Yeah, for sure. Kershaw has one ring, same as Verlander. We got Teo needs an extension from Ray. Yeah, you know how I feel about that. Absolutely, I would talk about a four-year, five-year deal, $80 to $100 million for Teo. Not sold on Lux and Outman. Trade them for a shortstop. Look, if you were to trade Gavin Lux and include him in a deal for Bo, then, look, that's another scenario we've talked about, too. But, look, this is all – every Thursday we're going to focus on trades. It's going to be Trade Talk Thursday, right? So we can get crazy on the show, guys. We can get crazy. Still EJ, Adamas is Friedman's guy. Should I tell him about what happened last night with Friedman?
Yes. You should tell us. You should tell everyone.
So, yeah, last night, man, I had a crazy dream about Andrew Friedman where I was in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium and I was giving him all my trade ideas, and he told me basically, yeah, I love these ideas, but I don't know, man. If I do these trades, you're going to take all the credit. I told him, no, I don't care. I just want this team to win. I just want to win the World Series. And then, yeah, I woke up. And, yeah, no, there was a crazy part of the dream. But, look, hey, yes, guys, I do dream Dodger baseball. Give the Jays Frasso back, Ben, Kawucha. LA would absolutely regret the heck out of getting rid of Lux. Believe that's from Scott Slater. Yeah, I mean, Lux is trending in the right direction. You're seeing better swings. You're seeing harder contact. You're seeing the benefits of sticking with him. D-Mac, get on the right team here. The Astro to the Trastros. Cheers. LA, nope, never forget. Scott Slater. I'm not saying I'm gung-ho about Justin Verlander. Absolutely wouldn't love the idea of him on this team, but I'm just responding to this report by John Heyman. And if they were desperate for, if the Dodgers were desperate for starting pitching and needed a frontline starter, would you rather punt on this season or get someone available? I'm saying in that scenario, I would do it. It's not a move that I would run to or jump to or anything like that, because I think he would possibly hit that 140 innings and get that club vested option. And the strikeout rates have been down. I don't think, you know, he's necessarily the Cy Young elite future Hall of Fame version of Verlander at the moment. But like I said, if they were in a desperate situation, I mean, hey, you got to win a World Series with this group, and that might be their best option. And the organization has told you that they wanted him. They wanted him in Dodger blue. So I'm just not trying to tell you how it could be. I'm trying to tell you how I think it is and trying to go give you the truth here. Chris Randers says, get Justin Verlander. Ethan, he hit some shots on I think it's situation, too, if they traded for him, like all of a sudden people would like love the idea. You know what I mean? It's like that's how it always works with these. Cobra Commander does a – I mean, there were people that wanted Carlos Correa. You know what I mean? I was never that guy. $5 from Julio. Parades over prospects, LOL. That's why Houston has had parades without prospect Yordan Alvarez. We got Cobra Commander. Does a hard-throwing guy like Miller stay healthy, though? I mean, it's always a risk you're going to have to take. But, look, if a guy like that goes down, you still have him under team control. He's still young. I mean, look at the plan they had with Walker Buehler. They drafted him knowing it was going to take some time after he had his first Tommy John surgery. So, that's not against what the Dodgers do. They think big picture, but I think if you're going to bring in a piece this year, I mean, can you imagine Mason Miller on the Dodgers, man? And he's pitching like this. It's lights out, okay? It is lights out. I don't think we should grab more 35-plus-year-old pitchers from Ray. We got Lux is 100% better than he was at the beginning of the season. By the end of the season, there will be no doubt about him belonging where he is. We got to Shane Rochester. I get what you're saying at Team Ruiz. Dodgers need to look into every option available to get us a Dodgers championship. We need our parade. COVID stole that from us. Alex, that's the comment of the show. You guys agree? I mean, that has to be the mindset. You're the Dodger dog of the game. You're the comment of the show. And you look at the minor league system right now, right? I mean, outside of the shortstop position, you got a good amount of surplus. And look, they've got those magic beans, right? They can trade away people from the farm because they got the magic beans. They know how to regrow, right? That's what makes this organization so special is you can find ways to replenish. Look what they did with the Michael Busch trade by bringing in Jackson Ferris, right? Jackson Ferris is someone that they're high on and Zaire Hope. So this organization is so smart that if they were to make a move, you would have to give them a lot of the benefit of the doubt. But that's going to do for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. Do a couple walk-off shots right here. Do some walk-off shots down below in the comments section. We got a big bobblehead. It's like, I mean, this is like big stuff tonight. It's like a PS5's dropping. The new Jordans are coming out. People lined up around the block. A Furby. I mean, this is like the most sought-after bobblehead ever tonight. Shohei Ohtani. Remember, if we get the road gray, Noel's shaving his head. We got Brianna Rochelle. What other players do the Blue Jays have? They can see the Dodgers wanting to trade for. I mean, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is obviously not going to be a mix. He's a first baseman. They're pitching. I mean, no one really that I think would be that intriguing. Justin Turner, so mentioned, but where would he fit? He's a DH and someone who can play some spot infield. So it's really about Bo Bichette. If the Dodgers get Bichette, Lux is gone. That's from Ray V. Guzman. Jesse Gonzalez, I get sad every time this show comes to an end. Thank you for going live on my lunch, DM. That's a really nice thing to say. That's sweet right there. I usually have something to say back, but that's a wholesome moment on the show. You win. Appreciate all you guys. Affirm. Remember how big Furbies were? Tickle Me Elmo. Right? I mean, this Ohtani doll's going. What was the most sought after toy you ever wanted or thing? I mean, for me, it was the Dreamcast. Second Dreamcast of Marvel vs. Capcom.
I was obviously the Nintendo 64 for me, but what I really wanted was the Batman Forever Batmobile, the water pump where you can just pump and it just.
Oh, just really?
Goes. Yeah, that's what I wanted. And I got it. Gracias, papa.
Gracias, papa. All right, so. Noel, let me get your.
You know, in Toy Story 2, how you had that like epic version of Buzz Lightyear?
Yes.
Dude, I really wanted
that. Oh, that silver one?
Yeah.
Oh, that was hard.
I really wanted that one. And more recent, my first paycheck when I got my first job, I bought a PS5. So that was like super like. Crazy that whole like COVID era trying to get that.
Nice. You know what my thing was? NBA League Pass. League Pass. Asked my mom for NBA League Pass. That was my present, baby. But that's going to be for this episode of Dodgers Dugout Live. We appreciate you guys rocking with us. Like I said, Trade Talk Thursday. We're going to get crazy with this all season long. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but we are usually way ahead of the game on this show. It's fun to think of these different scenarios because, you know, they typically come true. We've seen it so many times, right? Don't forget, Day after the Dodgers lost to the Diamondbacks, what'd I say? I said, sign Yamamoto, trade for Glasnow. It happened. A couple weeks later, Friedman was on the show. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying something. But that's going to do it for this episode, guys. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. You guys are the best fans in the game. That's why you're getting a Ohtani Gray jerseys giveaway. Once we hit 95K, subscribe, comment, go Ohtani. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.